We will certainly do so. Later, if you'll bring that back up in our prayer time for Helen, she'll be here in just a moment. She's on a phone call, but she'll be in here and she kind of helps us keep records and notes. Hey, Pam, could I get some light above me? Just a little bit. I appreciate it. Well, good morning, everybody. We're getting the lights up and getting the sound going, and here we are, Tuesday morning. It's time to have our training time, and I welcome each and every one of you who are here in the sanctuary, as well as those of you who are listening in at a future date, or perhaps you're watching live stream right now. We welcome every one of you. Before I begin, we just need to take a moment and give thanks where thanks is due, and gratitude where gratitude is due. This past Sunday evening, we were sideswiped, is the way I like to say it, by a significant tornado. And about 300 yards west of where I sit right now, the center of a tornado came through, and it wreaked havoc everywhere on either side of that center line for about 200 yards. And we are so grateful that this building and facility were spared. We did lose some damage to our sign. Our church sign is gone. Also, our pavilion, an open-air pavilion on the next ridge, is totally destroyed. But knowing the severity of that tornado and watching a drone recording of it coming through later, I'm just amazed that we are sitting here in a facility that has power and that is undamaged as far as we know. We have had some people look at the roof, and according to them, it appears there was no damage to the roof. We do know that some shingle damage was done down out on the front, but that is probably something that can be taken care of with an insurance claim. Anyway, thanks be to God for His protection on the facility. But more than that, thanks be to God for His protection on the people who were huddled inside a choir room right behind where I sit while the tornado passed. God kept us all safe. And considering the fact that we started out the evening in that pavilion that later was totally destroyed, we do have something to give God thanks for. So I'm going to ask that we pause and let's give prayer and thanks to God. Could we bow? Heavenly Father, we know that you watch over your people, and we've been reminded how strong and how powerfully you watched over us. Last Sunday evening, you kept us safe from a very serious tornado. You kept us inside, and you led us and guided us to take shelter. And we are so grateful for how you watched over us. We pray, Father, for the people that were impacted by this tornado throughout this state. And we ask, God, that you will be with them and those who are helping them. And we ask, Lord, today, as we think about you and about our time with you in our walk with you, we ask for your Holy Spirit's presence and for your guidance. Be our teacher today. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Okay. Today we begin Time Alone with God, Part 2. Part 2. Last week we began training on how to spend time alone with God. And we identified two reasons why many Christians spend very little time, if any, alone with God. One of those reasons being a lack of desire, and the other of those reasons being a lack of a plan. And we noted Jeremiah the prophet's promise to those who lack desire for time alone. Jeremiah made a promise to people in his era and his day who were spiritually dry and didn't have a strong desire for God. He made this statement on behalf of the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What a promise for those who want to cultivate that desire for a time alone with God. And the second thought that we were thinking about as far as reasons why Christians don't spend as much time alone with God was lack of a plan. And last week, we began to introduce a plan for you and I to implement in our lives for our time alone with God. And we talked about the first step of that plan being preparation. Preparation. And in a way, as we think about that word preparation, the question just naturally comes, well, what is it to prepare? And we went to that story of Samuel for an example on how we can prepare ourselves for a time alone with God. Long story short, Samuel was on his bed, and he said something that to me is the ultimate statement of preparation. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. In other words, Lord, I'm here, no distractions, I'm listening. Now I'm ready for you to speak to me. And that, to me, is preparation. We're listening for the voice of God. Distractions aside, heart willing to hear, ears open. And that is our preparation for a time alone with God. But what is the second part, the second step of our time alone with God, the plan that we can take? And in a word, I'm going to answer that second step with this one word: waiting. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. Drawing from the same story that we introduced last week about Samuel, not only was Samuel listening, which was his first preparation, but Samuel was also waiting. Eli the priest had told him to go back and lay down. And he made this statement: if he speaks to you again, then you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In other words, Eli said, while you're opening your ears to listen, you just have to wait and let him take the initiative to speak to you first. And if he does, you tell him you're ready to hear. So I want to quote again our mentor in this time of study, John Maxwell. He makes this statement, and it's worth considering. Quote, waiting and listening can be difficult. Would y'all agree with that? Waiting and listening can be difficult. They are not things most people do very well because we live in an instant society. Then he says, but you can learn to do them if you persevere, and the reward is incredible. And that last statement there intrigues me. The reward for waiting, the reward for listening is worth it. It's incredibly worth it. Now, I want to remind myself, and perhaps you have heard this song in your past. It's a scripture song that I've heard sung over the years. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the last phrase of that scripture song goes like this. Teach me, Lord, to wait. I think that's a great way for us to approach the Lord in our time with Him. Lord, I'm listening, but Lord, teach me to wait. Teach me to be quiet and let you move in your time and in your way. I want to ask you a question now with that little scripture song in mind. Have you ever watched an eagle fly? You know, the prophet Isaiah compared waiting on the Lord to a reward. And that reward was flying like an eagle. Have you ever watched an eagle fly? They are tremendously powerful, tremendously swift, and when I have watched them fly, I have marveled at their strength and at their speed. You know what? I believe that God has strength for us when we wait. I think God will provide speed and power and the ability to continue and persevere as we wait upon Him. So while we wait, and again, I'm drawing on our mentor here today. While we wait, John Maxwell suggests three things we allow God to do. Let's allow God to love us while we wait. Let's allow God to search us while we wait. And thirdly, let's allow God to show us while we wait. In other words, let God love you, let God search you, and thirdly, let God show you. That's what I want to talk about this morning, because waiting isn't just zoning out and just kind of putting your mind in neutral. You are waiting actively. You are waiting with a purpose, okay? So what is our purpose while we wait for God in this time we're trying to spend with Him? Well, the first thing that we can do when we wait for the Lord, it's healthy and it's powerful. Let God love us. Let God love you. You know what? There's power when you pause to think as a follower of Christ the way God loves you. So often we don't get a lot of affirmation, and so often we don't get a lot of expressions of love to us during our day-to-day lives. But God wants you to know He loves you, and He wants you to consider that and let that bless you and encourage you as you wait for Him. There's a song that we also sing around here. You know, one of the blessings of pastoring a singing church like Parkview is that There's lots of songs that have helped us over the years. And here's another one that talks about letting God love us. Don Moen writes these lyrics to his song. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the mountains above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. You know what? When you pause to take to heart how much God loves you, it has a way of drawing you nearer to Him. Even if you've maybe been out there a ways, maybe you've been distant from Him, remembering how He loves you has a way of drawing you back. It's like a magnet. It's like an anchor that kind of holds you and draws you back to Himself. And the second thing is, after you consider His love for you, let Him search you. And this isn't easy to do for us unless we're confident that He really loves us. Amen? In other words, we naturally, I know as humans, our natural response to being searched is to be a little defensive. God, wait a minute. What? But if we know that we know He loves us and wants what is absolutely best for us, and there could not be anyone who has our best interest at heart more than He, once we get that in our minds and get it through our head, as the old saying goes, all of a sudden it's easier to allow Him to search us because we trust Him. We know that He would not search us unless we needed searching. He wouldn't reveal something to us unless it needed to be revealed. I like to think of it as a visit to the doctor's office. You know, we let that doctor search us. We let him examine us. We let him look closely at us and evaluate us. Why? Because there could be something wrong. There could be something that needs to be addressed. And it may even require some treatment that's not always without some pain or without some difficulty. But why do we do it? Because we know that's what's best for us. And it comes to us from a doctor that cares about us. Well, when God gets alone with us and we're willing to remember that He loves us, then it's a little easier. It's a whole lot easier for Him to then search us. And I don't know about you, but one of the scriptures we've been quoting around here for several weeks now in our prayer partners meetings is Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, where we hear those words, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's what the psalmist was trying to do in that psalm. He was saying, I want to be with you, God. I want to be alone with you, God. I want to draw closer to you, God. I know you love me, God. And now I'm ready. You go ahead. Put the searchlight on me. And Lord, I'm willing to be searched. You know, when we wait on God with those kinds of thoughts in our minds, we're getting in a position for Him to reveal Himself to us. And we can be experiencing His voice and His presence in our lives. There's a third aspect of what I would like to call active waiting. You know, active waiting involves letting God love us. Active waiting involves letting God search us. Active waiting involves letting God show us. Let Him show us. In the Psalms, we also read these words. By the way, that last quote, I gave you the wrong reference. It was Psalm 139 that I just quoted where it says, "Search me." That's Psalm 139. But now let's go to Psalm 25 as we think about God showing us. In Psalm 25, 4 and 5, here's what the psalmist now writes. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And hear this last phrase. On thee do I wait all the day. So, what are we saying here as we think about allowing God to show us? Well, let me put it in perspective with the other two things that we're allowing God to do. As you allow God to love you, okay, He comforts your heart. As we allow God to search us, He reveals our need. But thirdly, as we allow God to show us, okay, He points us to the next step. So that's called active waiting. Let God love you, He'll comfort your heart. Let God search you, He'll reveal your need. Let God show you, He'll point you to your next step. Now, as I was preparing this, I was asking the Lord, how could I illustrate this? Because y'all, I don't know about you, but I remember illustrations and stories better and longer than I remember lists. You know, statistics and lists are important, but what sticks in my mind and what helps me when I try to apply something to my life, it's a story, it's an illustration, because somehow we're wired that way mentally. So how do I illustrate what it means to actively wait on the Lord? Well, as I got still, He helped me again, and I give Him thanks. And He helped me remember something. Waiting on the Lord is more than just something you do as you approach Him in a time alone, in a daily devotional time. Waiting on the Lord can actually be a stage in your life. Does that make sense? Waiting on the Lord isn't just a step in your approach to God in a daily devotional time. Waiting on the Lord may be a stage in your journey and in your walk with the Lord. And I believe this is of the Lord. A couple years ago, Lori and I were going through a time of incredible emotional pain. Great pain. Pain so overwhelming that it was hard to just keep functioning day by day. I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm talking about heartache. Y'all understand what I mean. Every one of us has had heartache. You live on this world long enough, you're going to have some heartache, right? We were going through that period of great pain. And this wasn't days, this was weeks, this was months, even years. And as we went through that time, we were at a loss of what to do. I mean, to be honest, everything we attempted to do to try and alleviate the pain only made things worse. I'm talking about relationship pain. Relationship pain. We wanted a better relationship in our lives. Not with each other, but with someone close to us. And everything we tried to do to help that relationship, it blew up in our face. It made it worse. And we were just at a loss, didn't know what to do. One day, and I wrote this down. If you see me looking down, I want to be sure and give you the whole story. One day, when we arrived home at our house there on Broad Lake, got out of the car, and we're walking around outside, I remember hearing the cry of an eagle. We have eagles out on Broad Lake. And from time to time, they'll fly along that lake. And I heard that eagle's call. And so I looked up, And there, way, way up high, I could see him, that white head. And he was just soaring on the wind, making broad, wide circles and looking down on all below him. And as I looked up at him and saw him looking down on us, that scripture song that I quoted to you just a little while ago came back to my mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then that phrase, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. That's a lesson that isn't easily learned. At least it isn't by me. I don't like to wait. But God was helping us learn a lesson. Sometimes when life is painful and fixes aren't quick, the best thing that a child of God can do is to wait on God. Let God fix it. We are not God. We cannot solve some things. In fact, we can't solve most things. But we can wait on Him to work. And when you get to the place where you stop, and this is where I learned this about Ken Lynch, when you get to the place when you stop trying to be God and fix the problem, and you say, God, I believe that you're the one that's got to fix this, and I'm going to wait and try to be a Christian in all ways while I wait for it to happen, all of a sudden, peace started flooding into my spirit and into my heart that day, and I talked to Lori about that. And you know what? As we have waited, we've experienced His love for us. We've been reminded He does understand this. We also have understood better as we wait that there have been some attitudes and things in us that needed to change. That wouldn't have happened if we'd have kept forging ahead trying to fix. Sometimes He has to slow us down and make us stop and look at ourselves and change our attitude and change our approach. And third, as we've waited, that peace that passes all understanding has replaced the anxiety and the emotional pain. Not that we don't hurt, but today, to this very moment, we're waiting. But we're waiting with a confidence that He's at work and He's got His time and He's going to take His step in His way when He knows it will work. And so that's a lesson that He's helping me learn. And it's a lesson that we can replicate every time we approach Him for time alone with Him. Y'all, we've got to slow down and listen. We've got to wait and let Him love us, let Him search us, and let Him show us. He showed us that our job right now is to wait on Him. So this thing called time alone with God, it's a powerful thing, isn't it? And it begins with preparation or listening, and it continues with waiting. Waiting on the Lord, allowing Him to love us, to search us, and to show us. So this week, in your time alone with God, I encourage you, wait. And while you wait, allow Him to love you, allow Him to search you, and allow Him to show you. And so thank you for your time and attention to this next step in our time alone with God. I look forward to hearing what you've got to say about your waiting on Him when we meet next week. Thank you.